Oh, welcome to Futuramapedia.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
Today. To the world of sometimes tomorrow. I don't know. Whoop, it's still going. That was a mistake.
Mark that down.
So we're back with a full episode. Our last episode was episode 19, so that makes this one episode 20.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
When did we record that? It's been a while. Sorry about that.
That I didn't look up. I think that was before your wedding, so...
It seems like a long time ago.
Possibly before...
It's like 5 years.
I'm going to say it was probably 2 years ago now. Maybe a year and a half.
Wow.
When we last recorded. Well, that's not counting our half episode at Comic-Con.
Hiatus over.
Did
people like that one?
I don't know. I haven't really checked the download stats on it, but I think people liked it.
That was a fun Comic-Con.
And that was only 3 months ago, so that's a lot better than a year and a half in between episodes.
That's true.
I don't know. Do we want to talk about what's been going on since the last podcast before we get to the news?
Yes, let's talk about that. So what's been going on with you, Steve?
Well, nothing's really changed with me. You got married.
Married. I'm showing you my ring right
now.
You guys can't see this.
And of course, I was part of that in your groomsmen lineup.
You were a man who was part of being a groomsman.
Yeah. So that was fun. Everyone had a good time.
Good time had by all.
Not much. I don't know. I don't think that much going on. You picked up some interesting Futurama items.
That's right. I got a tip from somebody.
A hot tip.
Steve emailed or texted me something like that, saying that this person in Ottawa was having a garage sale and she advertised online on, I think it started with Kijiji.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think
said,
so.
Hey, I've got all these, you know, toys and comics that I'm selling, some of which were Futurama.
Yeah.
So it turned out it was just, you know, in my neighborhood, more or less. So we drove down there. Aaron and I drove down there. She stayed in the car. It was really hot.
She was too embarrassed, I think.
It was really hot. That was her excuse. And I showed up. I said, yeah, I heard you have some nerd items for sale. She's like, yeah. She had this huge box of Futurama toys. $2 each. They're normally about like $20. I got a Bender. I brought Bender today.
Bender toy was kind of neat. It's like I mentioned to you, it's like a Futurama Mr. Potato Head thing.
Yeah, because you can open his chest cabinet and you can change his eyes from happy to sad. From sad to angry.
Yes, yeah, sad to angry. There is no happy with Bender,
do.
I think.
Yeah. She also had the Chef Bender.
Okay.
From when he was a chef, but his chest cabinet didn't open, so I was like, I got to take the...
Yeah, you gotta have the
tried and true.
the chest cabinet. I was gonna say cavity, but it's more of a cabinet.
So I got Zap Brannigan as well. He's on my desk at work.
Nice.
Yeah. By the way, if you were wondering if Zap Brannigan wears underwear, he does not. Not in the toy version, at least.
And you specifically looked for this.
I noticed. Actually, Aaron noticed. He doesn't wear underwear. I took a picture of it. I was going to send it to you. What else? I got Calculon.
Yeah, that's right. I saw that. You took a picture of all the toys there.
That's right.
I saw Calculon at the end. That's pretty cool.
And Fry, from the superhero episode when he's Captain Yesterday.
Right, yep.
She had all the superhero episodes. Leela was, I forget.
Wasn't it the regular Leela? Or no, what her superhero was?
What her superhero was.
That I can't remember either.
I can't remember.
I think we're going to have to watch that episode sometime soon.
We will. So I got that. The cool one was, actually in a box still.
Oh, okay.
Not a mint condition
box.
Did
you open the box?
Oh, I definitely opened the box. It's Mom, and you can take her clothes off. And she's
interesting
mom
that
underneath.
You want to do that, but okay.
Hey, you know.
Oh, you mean like you take off like the oversized dress and she's wearing her jumpsuit or whatever?
Those clothes, yeah. Leotard.
Yeah.
And it comes with the build a bot where If you collect all four of that set, you get a full robot, and that one was okay. Roberto, so I have Roberto's head.
Just his head, okay.
Just his head. That's about it.
Cool. Yeah, well, that was pretty neat. I'm pretty sure you sent me the picture, so if I still have it on my phone, I will I'll put it up with the podcast.
Yeah.
Because there are some pretty sweet toys. Well, why don't we get to...
Sorry. She also had Bluezoidberg.
Bluezoidberg.
I was like, I should have gotten that for Steve, and then I didn't.
Oh, that's okay.
All right. Continuing on.
All right.
Good news, everyone!
Good news! How'd you do that, Steve?
Well, I had a little soundboard here on the computer. I actually wanted to use the sounds from today's episode because there was two that we could have used.
Yes.
But I didn't have time to put them onto the computer, record them and all that. I might as well start off with, because pretty much all the information that we have consists of this one line on my notebook about the Futurama mobile game coming.
What?
Yeah.
There's a mobile game?
So they announced it, July 9th? I think they announced it at the San Diego Comic-Con. And the poster looks really cool, but unfortunately, there's no other details other than mobile app coming soon.
That's right.
Mobile game.
Hey, but you can subscribe
to
get more
yes.
information.
You have to go to playfuturama.com, and you can
That's
subscribe
right.
for more information. I still need to do that.
I did.
Yeah.
You
there's
didn't.
No information?
No need information. I keep checking back, you know, Futurama news.
Yeah, so hopefully Nothing. We'll hear what the game is going to be like. It from the poster, it said something about drones. So mm-hmm. I think there was some speculation that it might be similar to like The Simpsons Tapped Out, but I would think probably not. I'm guessing.
That's what everyone's wondering right now. And I, you know, if it were that similar model, like Tapped Out or even the Family Guy game, it's very similar. I'd play it. I'd play it regardless, but
yeah, I would probably give it a try.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would definitely play it. So way back when we talked about the tube system that you brought up.
Yeah, Elon Musk had a great idea to do the New York style transportation tubes.
Yeah, right? And I thought that was like a legit idea that was actually going to come to fruition. But you said it's actually just he has ideas, but.
Yeah, I thought he normally just throws out some crazy ideas out there.
And that's it. Does he get paid for that? He comes out with ideas?
No, he just comes out with ideas.
Oh, okay. So apparently somebody has built on that, according to techmalik.com. Caleb Clark wrote this article that I was reading. And apparently there is going to be a Hyperloop transportation system built-ish. So the newly founded Hyperloop Transportation Technologies signed an agreement with Orlaken labeled Vacuum. Yeah.
A vacuum cleaner company. Gotcha.
Yep. And an engineering design firm called Acom to get this project running. So they have these two massive companies, and apparently it's supposed to go from passenger-ready Hyperloop in 2016...
Holy crap, that's really close.
That's 2016. Prototype will run 5 miles through the Quay Valley? Key Valley?
Kay Valley, I think.
Kay Valley, and which is a planned community, and it goes from Interstate 5 between San Francisco and Los Angeles.
That's pretty significant. Like, 5 miles doesn't sound like a lot, but I think actually that is quite mm-hmm. quite a distance to send someone through a vacuum tube.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll find out with that. But apparently the team consists of employees from NASA, SpaceX.
Cool. Seriously though, 2016, and they can get this thing done faster than the light rail transit in Ottawa.
Yeah, we won't discuss that. Actually, he did mention that in the article that he was like, oh, America doesn't even have a full rail system, but we can get Hyperloop.
Well, I have to wonder, though, like, are they going to send people through the prototype, or are they going to send, like, random inanimate objects? Like, you know how in Star Trek, in The Next Generation, whenever they're testing, like, the transporter, they're always testing, like, you know, some random cargo, and it comes back melted. Yeah. So like, are they gonna send a box through and then it maybe hope that it comes back intact on the other end?
Yeah, I'm hoping they start with something not human. Do you think it actually looks? It's gonna look like a big vacuum cleaner, and it'll have, you know, a fan at the end, and maybe like a bag to collect things. And if it gets too full, then you'll have to empty out the humans.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's I don't know. There weren't any pictures that came with that article, eh? Like, they didn't have any?
No, they didn't have any. Yeah.
I'll have to keep an eye on it, because it's coming out in 2016. 2016, so not hard to follow.
5 miles. I don't know if I believe that, but we'll find out. Other news, Billy West has a podcast.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
I'll have to find that. What is it called?
BillyWestPodcast.com.
Billy West.
Write that down.
I'm sorry, can you spell that for me?
B-U-L-L-S-H.
Did you say B-U?
S-H-I. Are you writing this down? BillyWestPodcast.com. Okay. I don't even know why you're writing it down.
No, I am. Well, because if I don't write it down, I'm honestly going to forget until I listen to this again. I'm like, oh, yeah. But I want to put it in the show notes.
You listen to this?
I do. It's like feedback. Like, you give yourself your own criticism.
That's right. You know? You just like listening to your own voice. So I was going to make a plug to go listen to BillyWestPodcast.com after listening to us, of course.
You can listen to both, not at the same time.
You probably could.
That'd be difficult.
I didn't listen to anything yet, but you know, he has a lovely website that gives you.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out, because he's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy.
He's not a mushroom.
Not a mushroom. Okay, so you know the movie Pixels?
Yo, yeah.
There was some controversy with Pixels and Futurama.
Well. Before you continue, actually, I forgot to mention this. I recorded a little snippet for this podcast called the Adam Sandcast. Mm-hmm. It's a guy who's going through all the Adam Sandler movies, and he wanted to have, you know, other people on podcasts like say what their thoughts were of what Pixels was going to be like. So I recorded something, and it's on. I'll have the link to the episode, but it aired obviously before Pixels came out. But that was pretty neat. So you can hear me talk, because I didn't tell you about this.
Nope. No, you didn't.
Well, it's like a 10 to 30 second thing anyways. But it's the podcast itself is actually pretty good. So there's another podcast recommendation.
Oh, very good. So anyways, you were on this podcast?
Well, yeah, I sent him a pre-recorded.
Very nice.
And I may be on it to talk Just Go With It with him. Which is not a bad Adam Sandler movie.
Cool.
But anyways.
Just go with it.
I did bring up the Futurama connection to Pixels, but not any controversy.
So what did you bring up, though? Because, well...
Oh, I just mentioned that it basically is the plot of the Tales of Interest.
That's right on. That's this article I read. I don't even need this. You said it. When I say controversy, I'm just dramatizing a bit. But yes, that's what this guy who wrote it, he's a contributor for Forbes.com, Dave Fear. And he said, reminder, Pixels lifted its entire plot from an episode of Futurama. That's his headline. So it comes off very upset. But yeah, he said pretty much like it's...
Well, to be fair, the Futurama story is like maybe 10 minutes, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there must be, I haven't seen Pixels yet. Have you seen it yet?
No, I want to.
I do. I want to go see it as
like
well.
Fun. I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
That's video game based.
Yeah.
Really good. Go see it.
But I'm assuming that there's a little bit more to Pixels than the 10 minutes of story we got from Futurama.
That's very fair of you.
I would also be pretty sure that it's not the first time someone's thought of video game characters invading Earth.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I think it's okay.
Well, and apparently Pixels is based on an internet short. That's what I got. I think that's what Adam Sandler talks about.
Yeah.
Patrick Jean's short. That's what it's called.
It's nothing's really worth getting worked up about, though, so.
More on this breaking puff piece after a word from our sponsor.
With the new iPhone, you can watch, listen, ignore your friends, stalk your ex, download porno on a crowded bus, even check your email while getting hit by a train. All with the new iPhone.
From Mom.
So, our focus episode today is Attack of the Killer App.
Yeah, so we discussed this earlier. It's DVD Volume 5, Episode 3, but it's Broadcast Season 7, Episode 3. And to get even more confusing, it's Broadcast Season 6, Episode 3. At least it's all consistent. It's Episode 3.
You know, when I was looking for this episode through my collection, I started at 7.
Yeah, I thought it was went a more recent. 6,
and then went down to 5. Yeah, it's not recent at all. The 30th Century Fox synopsis is, Fry posts an embarrassing video of Leela online. That's it. Remember when those used to be like 3 sentences?
Yeah, I know. I think we're going to have to start writing our own. So this was originally released July 1st, 2010, Canada Day. So 5 years ago now. I didn't realize that it was that long ago.
It's a long time. Yeah.
Written by Patrick M. Verone, or Verone, I don't know. It's Italian, so it might be Verone. I assume it's Italian. And directed by Steven Sandoval.
So apparently Steven Sandoval, I was listening to the commentary, he's new to that
to Futurama
season. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't really look him up at all to see what else he's done. But it's definitely not a name that I recognized while looking through the Infosphere info. Yeah, let's just dive into it here.
So the episode starts off. They're at City Hall, and they have the sign, E-Waste Not, E-Want Not.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mayor Poopenmeyer is giving a speech. And did you know, fun fact, that so David X. Cohen said in the commentary that Mayor Poopenmeyer was only supposed to be in one episode?
Was that the trash asteroid?
I think it was before that. Wasn't it?
No, I think that was the first appearance.
Big ball of garbage?
Yeah.
Either way,
well,
he was only supposed to be in one episode, and then he said, yeah, and I guess we're stuck with his name now. Poopenmeyer.
Well, they keep re-electing him, so.
So what did you think about the Japanese toilet?
Oh, yeah. Well, that I thought that was actually a... pretty sure it's a accurate representation of what the Japanese toilets are like today. I'm pretty sure I've seen videos of Japanese toilets that talk to you. I don't think they mentioned happy poopy time, but they do talk to you.
So long, overly complicated Japanese toilet.
Please, not to throw away. I give you a happy poopy time.
Sorry, you know too much.
I don't know. That seems like a very Japanese thing. They like that kind of feedback when you're pooping.
Yeah, apparently. Hey, sometimes you just need, you know, somebody in your corner, a little coach to help you along if you're having some troubles.
Yeah, and apparently it knows too much about Fry, which is, when you think about it, good foreshadowing for the episode for what's to come.
Ah, yes. What'd you think about that third world of the Antares system?
I thought it was a little awkward to watch that sequence. It was, I know it's exaggerated, but it seemed a little in poor taste, to be honest. I mean, it was, I'm not saying that I didn't find it funny, but it's a little bit in poor taste.
Fair enough. Yeah, they touched on that in the commentary about how they wanted, like, that actually happens, right? A lot of North American e-waste goes to a third world country, and they melt it down, and you know, then they play, okay, kids, let's play Find the Shiny. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But apparently the rings around the planet, that, yep, like, you know, 1.5 second shot of the ship going through the... Apparently they spent a long time on that because of all the monitors and all the little things.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I guess that means I should probably watch that again because I didn't really notice. I don't know where we are in the episode here. But yeah, we're still doing the third world country.
I didn't have anything else.
No, I didn't really have anything else either. And I guess it just, from there, it leads into Leela, like, rehashing the whole recycling thing and how she's going to toss out her phone. Or not toss out her phone, sorry.
Yeah. And then a commercial comes on for the new iPhone.
The iPhone, yay.
E-Y-E.
I thought it was kind of neat. The logo that they use for the Mom Corp, which I guess changes however they need it, but in this
Pretty
case
much.
It looks like exactly like the Apple logo.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Apparently, also, it's not actually a dig on Apple. They actually all use Apple products.
Oh, yeah, you know, I'm sure.
David X. Cohen, Matt Groening, they all love Apple. Well, they probably use Apple, you know, Macs for
editing, because, all that good stuff. Yeah, because it's Macs are pretty powerful editors for, like, graphics and all that, right?
So, yep. So they touch on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or Twitcher.
Twitcher.
And Twitcher, sending out twits. What's that?
Twitcher, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like Twitcher.
With a C-H?
Yeah.
T-C-H? Yeah, that's... Here's a twit now is one of my lines that I copied down. I like that one.
Yeah. I like how they have download-isodes and phone-isodes.
Actually, yeah, phone-isodes.
For mobile TV.
I wrote that down as... the note I have for phone-isodes is that actually would be a pretty cool idea to be able to, like, insert yourself into a TV show. I'm sure that that's something that you can do pretty easily.
Probably. If not, there's an app for that already.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's not that far-fetched of an idea. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, just a 10-second clip or something, I think people would... probably if they released it now, it would be a little more structured than just putting yourself in however you want. But actually, the way Bender did it is how I would picture it happening. Like, just a little bit of outlines around your hands, just because you can't blend the scene seamlessly.
Yeah, without a green screen.
Yeah.
So if you could throw yourself into a popular TV show, what would it be?
Ooh. Popular as in on the air right now, or popular in general?
Whatever you'd like.
I'd probably pick one of the Star Trek shows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which one? Deep Space Nine?
Actually, Deep Space Nine would be a good one, because you could, like, put yourself in the background and actually make it look like you're part of the scene.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, intrusive like that, but...
Yeah.
Well, what would you put yourself into?
Porno.
There's a lot of references to porn in this episode, by the way.
There is. Apparently, they worked really hard on the screens for the iPhone in the animation.
Oh, the individual screens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that comes through.
To blend it in, and they actually thought, like, how are they actually going to make the screens? So they actually made scenes for the screens and then put them in front of people's faces.
Well, I'm pretty sure they also animated them while, like, if their heads were turning, the screen moved with them. But I'm pretty sure whatever was on the screen also moved while it was moving. So that is a crazy amount of animation to go through.
Yeah, and they tried to limit the head movement for that reason, because it's very difficult.
Yeah.
All these little things that just, they look so simple.
You know, speaking of the screens, I don't know if you're going to go into this, but one of the things, well, Hermes is playing Space Invaders at one point.
Yeah.
But that's not what triggered me first, was I was wondering if when they were at the pizza parlor, was Hermes, like, high or something? Because
he had the munchies?
Yeah, well, it's like the iPhone knows exactly when I have the munchies.
They always have references.
It's while he's playing video games too, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They always have references to him, you know, and marijuana.
Well, that's just my lasting question for this episode. Is Hermes high in that scene? But I guess probably the answer is yes.
Probably the answer is yes. Can you tell with Hermes? I think it's just
that's a good point.
There was a line I think it was Fry who said, "Since when is the internet about robbing people of their privacy?" And Bender's response was,
"Oh, yeah, since August 1991.
And was that, do you think it's significant?
Yes, or it is significant.
A random, did you look this up? You have a smile on your face, well, like you know what it is.
Well, I didn't know the exact date before, but I knew they were referring to Tim Berners-Lee.
The birth of the internet. Yep. So basically, the start of it.
Well, the first Bender's statement is not exactly correct in that's not... I mean, nowadays, there's, like, no expectation of privacy, but I'm pretty sure that was not the original intention of the internet.
No.
But it's true, though. Like, I have no expectation of privacy online. Like, it's kind of... There's a lot of stuff that's free on the internet, and I kind of view it as they're getting our personal data in exchange for giving us free stuff, and maybe they have ads sometimes.
And that's the price. Yeah,
I mean, otherwise we're gonna. You pay for your internet bill, and then you pay to access websites. Not a fan of that.
That's right. And you know, that's what data mining's about.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to talk about that? Because I haven't really. I mean, I know you looked up some stuff about it, but I didn't. We could save that till after the episode if you want.
We can save it till after if you want. It doesn't matter. I just have a couple fun ones.
Oh, okay. Because I probably have some opinions about that. So I don't know if you want to just have a separate discussion on it and just keep on going with the episode. It's up to you. You pick.
Oh, no. We want to discuss this. That's our one topic.
Yes, that's true. I came up with zero. Well, to be fair, I hadn't seen this episode before, so.
Yeah. Well, what do you feel? How do you feel? Get into it.
Oh, well, with data mining? See, that depends on how you're defining data mining. Like, it depends on whether you're talking about, like, specifically companies, like, getting your data for malicious purposes, or if they're just saying, like, what we're just talking about, like, you're exchanging some personal information to use Facebook or whatever, for instance.
I'd say the latter.
Yeah.
For malicious purposes, that's, you know, that's just...
No, like I said, I think that's fine. And I always, like, there's always comments from people that are, like, you know, have the tinfoil hats and stuff. Like, oh, I hate Facebook because of all this stuff that they give you. And, like, come on, you're using, or they're probably using the service anyways. And if they're not, then they just...
They're wearing their tinfoil hat while using it.
There actually is an app called Tinfoil. For Android, where it lets you use Facebook without saving any cookies or anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it literally is called tinfoil. But like, people get all up in arms about their privacy and stuff. And there's like, there should not be any expectation of privacy online, because that's just the way that the internet works now. And pretty much any company. I mean, they do tell you, whether they bury it in terms of services or not, they tell you exactly what they're doing. Like, they're not hiding it.
And look, it's for you. It makes their advertising targeted so that it actually applies to you.
Yeah, I mean, I can see some people's aversion to it in some cases, but I think really it's overblown. Like, I think the people that really don't like the lack of privacy are probably older generation.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think probably, you know, you and I are going to run into this in, like, you know, down 20 years down the line. The younger generation than us is going to have something that we're probably going to be all crotchety about.
Of course.
Yeah. So it's all change.
Lighten
things up a little bit.
Well, there's a couple neat ways that companies try to advertise for you. So, like, there's obvious ones. Like, I found this top 10 on, I think it was CNN, that had some of the things, like, you may or may not know about data mining. And so they talked about the obvious: Facebook, Twitter. Some companies use retina trackers to see how your eyes move in a store. So
I think I don't know if I knew that, but you know what, that reminds me immediately of Minority Report.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? And they call it an effective and very science fiction-y method to better monitor how you interact with products. So it's like companies like Procter & Gamble and Kimberly-Clark Corp. are experimenting with eye tracking technology. They say to better understand how things like how shelf placement or logo size affects consumer behavior.
Hey, well, that's exactly what grocery stores do, right? So,
oh, yeah. It's like when Loblaws changed their sale signs to red, because it pops out to you. And then you actually read the sale and you're like, oh, it saved 10 cents.
Yeah.
It's not really red worthy. Department stores can track your smartphone. Some Nordstrom's were using their Wi-Fi network to track customers' smartphones and create a heat map of their movements and how long they stayed in each section of the store. Oh, yeah. So this was a fun one. This is the one that I wanted to end on. Target can tell if you're pregnant before you do.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that one. Yeah. Because I had heard about this a couple of times through... do you listen to Under the Influence?
No.
Okay. It's a podcast. It's from CBC. But anyways, I'll let you tell it.
I think I heard their show. Target made news last year when it was revealed that its mailer system tracks purchase history and mails coupons based on those purchases. Well, convenient, right? The system got a little too accurate when a target in Minneapolis determined that a teenager was pregnant before she did. So the mailer system analyzed her previous purchases and noticed that she was buying, in terms of groceries and toiletries, fit a trend that usually meant a customer was in the early stages of pregnancy. So unfortunately, though, the girl and the family did not know yet.
Yeah.
So sure enough, though, the mailer system was right. The girl was pregnant, and the target's purchase analysis figured it out before the humans did that were monitoring.
Yeah, and I think I heard something about, like, they refined it a little bit so it didn't alert people like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, that...
See, they wouldn't have said, like, congratulations, you're pregnant. They probably would have been like, yeah, here's some coupons for diapers. And for the most part, you'll get a coupon and you won't think that it's targeted towards you. So back to the episode. Fry and Bender start a competition.
Oh, yeah. I was definitely wanted to talk about this. The Twitcher 1 million followers.
The 1 million followers. And... it wasn't, they weren't as focused on what they won, more about what the loser did.
Yeah.
Because the winner got a buck.
Yeah, that was interesting. I thought, like, first of all, they set it up as winner gets a buck. And then they said, well, what does the loser have to do? I'm like, well, does the loser have to pay a buck? Isn't that the...
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
But that's not what they ended up settling on.
I think they said the winner... wins a buck.
Yeah.
Doesn't say to be paid by the loser.
Well, it's usually assumed.
But so the loser has to do a double somersault into a tub of alien goat vomit and diarrhea named Mr. Chunks.
Yeah. Now, I had a question about this because I'm not really familiar with this particular season. Is Mr. Chunks from an earlier episode or is he just in this one?
He's just in this one.
Okay. So that's the end of that.
That's it. A two-headed goat. And he has a head on either ends. So I nominate that scene for the award for grossest moment in Futurama.
Oh, yeah. What did we say before? Was it the bonitis?
Did we have another award for the grossest moment?
We did at one point. I think we gave it to bonitis. Pretty gross, but yeah. I think this takes it
this
for sure.
This definitely takes it. And the great part is when I watch the commentary, or listen to the commentary... Matt Groening said after Futurama was resurrected, he said the one note, he said, no more puke jokes.
Well, obviously they took that to heart.
Yeah. And then after he saw that one, he said, fine, don't make it brown.
So to get followers in the competition, they did a bunch of different videos. Yeah. Fry tried to talk about politics.
Politics.
Yeah, couldn't spell it. And Bender did the same video, but with Amy in a bikini. And obviously, Fry lost followers.
It's like naked news.
One of the videos that Bender posted was the professor putting Mentos into a soda bottle, and I think it exploded.
Yep.
Yeah. Now. Normally, when you put Mentos into a soda bottle, it like the bottle does explode, but not with flames. It just like bursts out of the bottle. Have you ever tried that?
No, but I think we should.
We probably
Normally,
should.
Mentos and diet. I think it has to be diet.
Is it diet?
Yeah.
I diet thought it Coke. Was just regular, but
I don't know what it, if it's like aspartame well, you know what?
In,
or something.
That... In the Futurama version, it was diet.
It was diet. Yeah.
So it must be diet soda. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think that is something we can do. I have a whole backyard with nothing going on back there. We can take a video.
I'm down for that. So, do you know why? You know what kind of cola they used?
No.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going. With
no,
that.
I didn't.
Diet Solarmanite. Solarmanite. It's a reference to Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with that. I mean, I know Plan 9 from Outer Space, but I'm not familiar with the...
That's what they said in the...
In InfoSphere?
In the commentary. So there's a boil on Leela's butt.
Yes, named Susan.
Susan Boyle.
Now, this was released in 2010. Was that around when Susan Boyle was popular?
It was inspired by her.
It feels so much longer than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
To be honest. But yeah, so I mean, I don't think we need really to go too much into the Susan Boyle part.
Well, talk about it. They talked about her in the commentary.
Well, we know that there's a special voice, right? I originally thought it was Billy West, but I saw Craig Ferguson in the credits.
Yeah, that's right. Craig Ferguson.
So it was actually Craig Ferguson. Yeah.
And when he signed on, he knew that he was going to be a Boyle butt. Butt Boyle.
But did he know he was going to be Susan Boyle? Did he not do a Susan Boyle impression in real life? Like, is that why they got him to do it?
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. It sounds, seems familiar.
But they're singing. Leela and Susan the Boyle were singing Les Mis.
Yeah. I knew that right away. I forgot to write it down, but...
Yeah.
I dreamed a dream.
I dreamed a dream. Saw that on my honeymoon. Saw Les Mis.
Yeah, not, I saw
not
that.
Not a butt boil, but...
No, but well, I saw that too when I was in London several years ago.
But it was funny because I never would have gotten that reference until after seeing the musical.
Yeah.
I dreamed a dream.
No, I see.
But that's what the real Susan Boyle sang.
Yes, on I was going to say Britain's Got Talent. I'm pretty sure that's what she sang.
Yeah.
But which I realized that after I realized that the song was from Les Mis.
That's pretty much it that I have for show notes, by the way.
Yeah, I. That's pretty much what I had too. The only things that I wanted to add was just some overall thoughts. I thought it was an okay episode. It wasn't great.
Yeah, wasn't great. Wasn't the best episode, but it had its moments.
Oh yeah, I definitely enjoyed the iPhone portion of the episode more than the first part. Like the whole trip to the third world and the e-waste recycling felt like it was they were just filling time to get to the iPhone story.
Yeah, that's a good
like,
point.
It feels like the writers only had the iPhone story and like, well, we can't do a 15-minute long intro. Or could we? But the funny part about that too though is that this is one thing that I looked up on Infosphere is that the opening sequence, well, I could tell when I was watching it but confirmed it in Infosphere that the opening sequence was shortened.
It was super short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously the episode was too long to do the full intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. The ending was kinda weird on this episode. Like they had the horde of iPhone zombies.
Yeah.
All going to buy the next iPhone 2.0. But what I didn't understand is why they need to be zombies to buy the iPhone 2.0 because they had already shown their desire to buy the original iPhone.
That's true. I don't know. Although, would they need the iPhone to have the Twitcher app? You'd think they would have a different...
Yes.
Different device?
The Twitworm, is that what it was called? I think it was that. That's what it was. The Twitworm was being sent out to Bender and Fry's followers. Right. So, now, I assume that the worm only went to people using iPhones.
Right.
That had Twitcher installed on them. Although, it sounds like Twitcher was... there by default.
Only buy Android from now on.
I really thought about this too much, I think. But, you know, that was just, you know, it's in my notes. Had to go with my notes.
Oh, side note, the Twitworm, originally in the script they called it the Death Twit. But it didn't actually kill anyone, so they're like, we gotta change that.
Yeah, nobody really died.
No. I love when they end on, like, a catastrophe, though.
Yeah. You know, the ending was okay.
A whole bunch of zombies going
into it. The ending was good. It just was a little weird and abrupt.
Yeah.
But, hey, that's okay. I'm allowed to take it apart a little bit.
Absolutely.
There's definitely episodes in the original run of the series that I didn't enjoy either, so, you know.
Anything with Kiff.
No, not anything with Kiff. Just Kiff gets knocked up a notch.
Well, obviously.
I don't know why I had to put that in it.
You've been waiting to use that.
Yeah.
The Lods and Bodkins.
I love soundboards. That's another Futurama app you can download.
Yeah, I will put some different things on here. But you know what? I was playing with it, so now I really do have to just use some of the sounds. Can you identify the episode?
Anytime Bender burps.
Okay, I'll stop that now.
So, fun fact, we now know the birthday of Leela.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. I forgot all about that. So, when is her birth date?
Want to guess? Actually, it's close to yours.
Well, I was going to say April something, but if it's close to mine, like how close? Are we talking about like plus or minus a month?
Less than a month.
It's February 29th.
It's in March.
Okay, it's in March. March 17th.
It starts with the one. It's March 19th.
Oh, that apparently, my fourth guess wasn't far off.
Yeah. Which is also Marge Simpson's birthday as well.
Oh, interesting.
I think Matt Groening said that at a Comic-Con. I think he just threw it out. I think he just threw it out there. Like,
probably like, birthday? Yeah, what's Leela's birthday?
Yeah, what day is today? March 18th? Yeah, it's tomorrow. Go have a party. Yeah, all I have now is a favorite line, funniest joke.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't pick one.
No, you know what? I didn't either because I completely forgot. Actually, wait, before we go to that, there is one thing I wanted to mention. Or I wanted to ask you, actually, if you remember this, because I forgot to look it up. I meant to look it up. So, in the third world section of the episode, they mentioned that Bender's body is 40% chromium.
That's right.
So what's the percentage of dolomite? Do you remember?
No.
Because in Jurassic Bark, Bender's part has some dolomite in him because that's the only way he is able to go and rescue Fry's fossil.
I think he's 40% anything because he was titanium at one point when he sold his body.
Right,
but I think it was like 90% titanium because all that was left was his head.
Well, now I'm gonna have to look this up. Not right now. That is just bad podcasting.
You know what's great is that we can just insert it.
That's true.
Bender is 40% dolomite.
After stalling a bit.
Favorite line? I think I have one. It was between the happy poopy time and okay kids, let's play find the shiny. And that was my favorite.
Okay kids, let's play find the shiny.
All right, are you combining that into your best favorite joke and best line all in one?
No, just line.
Okay, so for me, I think the best line. Well, the obvious one would be shut up and take my money because that's like everywhere on the internet now.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was it. There was also here's a twit now when they're talking when mom is talking about her son.
Yeah.
But not that one quite right. I think I actually kind of liked Scoop Chang.
In the beginning.
Online podcast blog comments editor for the New York Times.
That's good.
I like that one.
They keep demoting him.
Yeah. I think actually, because I noticed a little note about who voiced him. I think in this episode it was Maurice LaMarche.
Maurice LaMarche, yeah.
I clicked on the character link in Infosphere, and there's some mention how he's even further demoted in the next episode he appears in.
Yeah.
I don't know which episode that is right now, but I just thought that was kind of funny. But also quite relevant.
Very relevant. Excellent. Favorite joke? Best joke? Funniest joke?
I think
mine was just that whole iPhone ad.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was hilarious.
I think for me, it was the reference of Hermes being possibly high. I thought that was good. It's very subtle.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this year's episode of Futuramapedia.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. So contact information, I'm going to have to add that on to the blog later because I honestly don't remember it all right now.
At Futurama Podcast.
Oh, yeah. Twitter is at Futurama Podcast. The website is futuramapodcast.tk.
.tk, yeah. Right.
Try to get a .com, but that costs money, and we have none. for no, that's not
unless
accurate.
We want to exchange our personal details.
Yeah, no.
Unless you want to give up our privacy.
No, we'll get a .com eventually, but .tk was free.
.tk
is great. I think the email, it's something at gmail.com, but I'll have to pull it up later and put it in the show notes.
Do we get many emails? I don't think people
no.
email normally. We don't
get
email.
Twitter messages, though.
Yeah, Twitter's good.
We got a few Twitter followers. And
Twitter.
I think there's one guy that keeps, I think it's Honky Tonk Buffalo or something like that.
Big fan.
He keeps listing us on Follow Friday, so that's I think we really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for the podcast. That was a pretty good podcast for being off for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think we'll try to get back in recording sooner before the year's out. I think we can do it.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas episode.
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, you've got school, but we can work around that.
School.
I have absolutely nothing going on. Well, that's not true. I am curling 3 nights a week in the fall. So.
That's so much curling.
Possibly 4.
I'm jealous.
Yeah. All right. Well, tune in next time.
I'm Stephen Gower.
That's incorrect. That was Michael Mercero. I'm Stephen Gower.
He's Stephen Gower.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Yeah!
Yes, sir!
Way to suck it!
This week's podcast is brought to you by Steve's dog, Hank, who eats all of our show notes once we finish the podcast. Here, Hank.
Here.
Oh, you actually want this.
I'm sorry. I gave your dog more paper.
Oh, it's okay. You know, this morning...
So how does it come out?
Oh, he just poops it out.
But do you see... Does it come out paper form?
No. This morning... I'm downstairs eating breakfast, and he went up and grabbed the toilet paper from the bathroom upstairs and, like, dragged it, still on the roll, all the way to the bed. So this is why all the bathroom doors are closed, and the only one that's not closed has no toilet paper in it.
Another excuse not to fill the toilet paper roll.
Or I thought you were going to say, another excuse not to wipe.
That makes happy poopy time.